Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is Thursday night, so the Midnight Rider is having a little technical difficulty, so I got to say it. Welcome to the show that everybody waits for all week, the Thursday night throwdown. Yeah, I can't do it right. The Midnight Rider.
No. It's with all the people. They say it's Thursday night throwdown. Yeah.
See? I can't give it the same je ne sais quoi.
My bad, man.
It's all good. And we're joined by none other than C. Perry II. How y'all gentlemen doing tonight?
What's going on, big man?
I'm here. I'm excited. I've been thinking about this one all day. So, first and foremost, let's get the formalities out the way. let's take a Saturday night tradition and bring it in on a Thursday. Perry, what you drinking tonight?
Look. Okay. So I got this nice bourbon as a present for Christmas. All right. My sister-in-law went out and was giving bourbon Christmas presents, but she picked Black Distilleries. All right. So I'm actually sipping on Bro Brothers. Okay, which is a black owned bourbon company that is out of that's actually distilled in Indiana.
Yeah, amazing.
It's light. It's not a normal full body bourbon like I normally like. It's about 80 proof. You can taste the. To taste the flavor notes of cinnamon, a little bit, cinnamon, brown sugar. But it's smooth. It's smooth.
That's good to hear. Because here we have our own black-owned bourbon. We have our own promotional code with Fort Mose. That's BUYFORTMOSE.com. /discount/maniacs. You can get yourself a rye, a bourbon, a whiskey for your sippers. And, you like to puff on a stick and sip a little bit. That's the place you want to go. That is BUYFORTMOSE.com. Use the /discount/maniacs to get $10 off your purchase. And if you order over $130, you get free shipping. So, now we got that. We were talking about this next thing on Tuesday, but we had to wrap it up because we were pressed for time. Now we got the floor. Perry's here. He got to explain this deal because I'm not happy with it. And that's Netflix and WWE being besties. And then we got a developing story I want to talk to the gentleman about. So, Perry, please, take it away and explain this deal. And Midnight Rider, I need to hear your full thoughts on this.
This deal is major. Okay, so WWE and Netflix have gone into a deal where starting on January 2025, Netflix will start broadcasting Monday Night Raw show. All right, now that's going to be, it's pretty much going to be worldwide where they're doing Raw, okay? The deal is for 10 years. All right. The deal is for $500 million a year. But what makes this deal so major is this deal is not about them gaining Raw only. It's not about that. Okay. Remember, Netflix is a worldwide platform. So outside of North America, pretty much it's about Raw. Okay. Outside of North America to the rest of the world, Netflix gets Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and all of the pay-per-views. All of the tentpole pay-per-views, your Royal Rumbles, your SummerSlams, your WrestleManias will be on Netflix worldwide. That's what makes the reason for the deal. Raw you know, the Monday Night Raw show is only the gateway to get to the bigger deal. And this deal is major. One thing that makes this deal major is because the template has now been set for the National Basketball Association, for the National Football League, and for Major League Baseball to look at streaming services more seriously as it relates to the full media package. I mean, like I said, it's huge. It's huge. This is not just about Raw, all right? And remember, now Peacock still has the WWE Network, and they still have the WWE library of programming. Okay, in the U.S., this is going to shift worldwide as it relates to Netflix, with Netflix worldwide gaining that, gaining these rights. And then when Peacock's rights end, where do you think it's going to go? It's going to go over to Netflix. Like I said, this deal is about more than them 3 damn hours on Monday. So
I think you're right to an extent about setting a template for Netflix, but I think the NFL going full-fledged with YouTube Live or YouTube TV was the starter in this program. And I think as you see the NFL slowly knocking on the door, giving these deals like Peacock and all these places, mm-hmm. these deals, like I said the other night, I got Peacock. I never looked at it, but last night I caught myself watching the TV series Ted on Peacock because I couldn't find anything else to watch.
It's funny you brought that up. You know what I use Peacock for?
What's that?
Dude, look, well, one, Bel Air is dope. That's the reason why I got Peacock in the first place. I didn't even get Peacock for the WWE. Okay. I got Peacock for Bel Air. All right. And I kept it for Bel Air. I kept it for watching Law and Order outside of the reruns of Law and Order that we see all the time. When they did The Best Man, The Final Chapter. You know, Peacock is a good platform, and a lot of these a lot of these streaming platforms are good platforms. But now, once you start getting into the live sports, the live sports properties, then these platforms become bigger and more valuable. Like, for example, let me give you a good example. Okay. Now, you heard about Showtime getting out of the boxing business, correct?
Right.
You knew that being PBC and Al Heyman. Okay. Who, let's be honest, has the majority of of the best fighters in the boxing game. Well, you know where they're going now, right? They have entered an agreement with Amazon Prime. So now the PBC, starting in March, that's going to be the first card and show that you will see on Amazon, on Amazon Prime. So the regular, those Showtime boxing shows, as well as the Showtime sponsored pay-per-views, will be going to Amazon Prime. And the catalog goes to Amazon Prime. So when you want to see those old Mike Tyson fights, when you want to see those old Evander Holyfield fights, when you want to see those old Floyd Mayweather fights, that whole catalog is going to be on Amazon Prime.
Oh, let's not even discount the fact that here locally, Monumental went into its own streaming service and is offering streaming for
Wizards and the Cats. So you pay your monthly, you can stream that from anywhere. Like I was telling KG, we're going to a point where we're going to be streaming everything.
Yep.
Because they know now the money's not in the box TV. It's not in the standard cable operations, because you've had too many arguments between channels and the cable companies where the cable provider wants to raise their prices, and then it takes them off of the network take them off the thing for a couple months. Like, people in Virginia just got CBS back like 2 weeks ago. You know, you've missed Georgia, you've missed Alabama, you've missed Commanders games on Sundays. So, I mean, these are all things that are becoming byproducts of this change that is going to happen. And right now, we're at the tipping point. And
MR,
imagine how we're going to watch TV in 5 years.
Thank you. MR, I have DirecTV, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the entire summer, CBS was persona non grata. Did not have it. Okay, did not have it until the NFL season started again, and that's when they worked out the deal. The word is a la carte. That is the way to view now. Okay, and that is the way to view going forward. Will the cable companies have a place? Yes, the cable companies will have a place. Trust me. There are going to be some people that's not going to want to pick up Netflix. Granted, Netflix in the fourth quarter of last year picked up 13.1 million subscribers. Okay, so they're still growing. All right, this leaves. I'll say this about other wrestling companies, and maybe KG will get a chance to talk about it. You know, talk about it on Saturday night. But this could give opportunities for other wrestling companies to move into the Monday night slot on cable television. We shall see. But yeah, this is the future, guys. Okay, this is this is the future, right? I don't see I don't see a problem with it, because those that were fans of SmackDown who want to ingest SmackDown, I'm sorry, Raw. Those who are fans of Raw that want to ingest Raw will find a way to ingest Raw. Period.
I'll say this, and I was laughing because I was thinking about this lineup early, and I said, "Well, we would be the 3-man band. We're gonna call this one a 2-on-1 break, because y'all both say the same thing. You got to get out of the pass." And here's the thing, USA has been good to WWE. Some of your greatest moments have happened on USA. Some of your greatest Raw moments, and probably number one for me, the Rock and Sock connection forming and beating the Undertaker and Big Show for the titles. I never forget where I was at. One of the greatest moments. Had just graduated high school. You know, I was loving it. It happened on USA. And to go to the streaming services, to have a playoff game on a streaming service was blasphemy to me. That is blasphemy. Because playoff football has always been accessible to the masses. It's always been on quote-unquote regular TV. But to go to a streaming service that everybody has to run to, and you got to pay that first month, even though you're going to cancel, and pretty soon they're going to get hip to that too. You know, you pay a month and then, you know, you cancel. Oh, it's a pay-per-view coming up. Let me pay a month and cancel. They'll get hip to it, and they're going to try to lock you in 2 months.
KG, wow. They're already hip. Hold. Let me grab this one real quick, okay? They're already hip to it. They've been hip to it. They pay attention to that, okay? But when you have a property like Raw and you're a fan and you come in with that fan base, it's hard to watch it for a month because you're going to cancel right then. No, Raw is 52 live shows a year. And also, KG, look, about your moments, you know, that happened on USA, you're not losing those moments. Those moments are moving to Friday night since Fox is out, you know, as of October, is out of the WWE business, and USA now has the quote unquote A show of the WWE, which is SmackDown and not Raw.
Is that on USA or is that on NBC?
What? SmackDown? SmackDown. SmackDown is currently on Fox, but it's going to be moving to USA in October.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. KG, I love you to death. but you got two choices here. You can be the Big Ten, adapt and adjust, or you can be the Pac-2, where there's only two teams left and what was supposed to be the Pac-12, trying to figure out what you're doing next year. Like, you're your team without a home. And that's what I think that's what happened is once you saw one person go down that wormhole, you got to start figuring it out. And the bad thing for cable, or the worst thing that happened to cable, was the Bally Sports bankruptcy.
Yep.
The second Bally Sports filed for bankruptcy and messed up the baseball money, then you had Amazon come in and rescue that. So let's not even think, or let's not even hesitate to think that Amazon's going to put together some kind of package for you to watch baseball this season to some degree. And this, even in just the markets they control, something new is going to be brought to you. And yes, they're hip to you doing it for 1 month and leaving, but they're more conscious of the products they have on their platform that's going either lock you in or you're going to forget. It's one of two. It's a reason why you watch that commercial with the thing is Rocket TV or whatever, where it tracks your monthly subscriptions and it tells you what you've been subscribing to. Without that, most of us don't know. Or you know when it hits your bank account.
Thank you.
And he's like, I gotta cancel that.
Thank you.
Then 30 days later, what are you saying again? Yo,
I gotta cancel that.
Yo, I did that for 5 months with New Japan World. Okay. New Japan World, the worst wrestling streaming service I've ever had. And you and KG, you know I love New Japan, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But their streaming service is terrible. However, I had it for five months because I forgot, because three of those months I forgot I had it.
And that's where they're banking at. That's where the bank is.
Joni Evans says, yeah, cable messed that up. They fumbled the bag. She also says, I got the broken Fire Stick. I cut the cable bill 3 years ago. One of the best decisions I made.
Broken what? I didn't hear that. Broken. I know not what you are talking about.
Don't get me started on... Don't get me started on baseball, because baseball used to be, I could watch the O's on WJZ. I can't even watch the O's on WJZ anymore. You know?
No, baseball is the only sport that has made it harder in the last 10 to 15 years for its sport to be consumed than any of the other sports.
Depending on the market.
No.
Depending on the market.
That's true. Yeah. I'm saying as a sport.
As a whole, yes. No, as a whole, I agree. But I also have to factor in depending on the market, okay? Because I've had the Yes Network for years, okay?
I knew.
Yeah, you knew I was going to go there. You knew I was going to go there, okay?
That's what I miss about DirecTV, because I had Yes Network for years,
you know
too.
You say, I got Yes and MSG. Come on, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm happy. All right, because I don't miss because you know got cable ownerships and team ownerships that's been able to handle this properly for their fans.
Now, let me ask a question to both of you gentlemen. Mm-hmm. We got this deal. You said $500 million a year.
And I forgot to kick this in as well. Okay. Netflix has the right to opt out of the deal after 5 years. If everything's going good. If everything's going good, they have the right to up the deal for another 10 years.
So can I ask the even better question? Mm-hmm. Because we've seen quarterbacks, we've seen Full Swing, we've seen the NASCAR show, the NASCAR show is premiering on Netflix soon. Mm-hmm. You got the F1 racing. You don't think there's going to be a show where we're going to travel with a wrestler from night to night or venue to venue?
It's going to happen.
It's inevitable. That's inevitable.
It is going to happen. Okay.
And that becomes a show. So now you get the odds, because Netflix does. This is one of Netflix's wheelhouses. This is like throwing a fastball to Barry Bonds, and he just cranks it out. This is the home run right here. Is when Netflix gets into the documentary phase of their programming,
which they will,
and they involve the WWE. I mean, you've already got kind of a thing with Miz and his wife. You got a little bit with Bianca Belair and Montez Ford. But when you get a bigger scale and somebody that does it better, it's going to, and then it doesn't have to be live. We'll tape it. We'll edit out the choppy parts and make it all clear. Come on, man. Netflix is hitting a home run. Netflix wins no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Before I get to the question, Netflix could have won if they would have jumped on Heels, the series Heels, before they canceled it. If they would have jumped on that, that would have been successful on Netflix. That would have been their precursor. But they're going to have a show like that. It's going to be kind of sort of like, remember Beyond the Mat?
They already forgot. They already have a show like that. That was a hit this year. That being the wrestler show chronicling Ohio Valley Wrestling. Okay. Right. They already had the end. They already got the end when it comes
to. You already got the mechanics involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
right, go ahead, man. What's the question?
Before I get to the question, Matt said local blackouts make no sense anymore. Yeah, they do.
I agree.
Now, here's the question. We had some allegations come out against Vince McMahon that involved screenshots, text messages, a new sex trafficking, allegedly, lawsuit. And the text messages are pretty goddamn graphic. You got John Laurinaitis involved in it. Perry said,
Brock, and allegedly Brock Lesnar.
Allegedly Brock Lesnar. Gotta say allegedly. My question to you, gentlemen, and everybody watching, do you think this affects the deal? Even though Vince is not head of the table no more, do you think it affects the deal?
No, I
think it actually helps the deal.
I feel you on that, MR. Okay, but let me tell you how it helped you. Can I piggyback on why it would help the deal?
Let me get the thought out real quick, and then
go ahead.
No, all I'm gonna say is one thing we love is a good car accident. Like, that's it. It's real simple. Go ahead, Perry.
Okay, so here's where it does not affect the deal, and it actually helps the deal. Okay, this would be the final nail in the coffin to get Vince McMahon away from the product. Period. Vince McMahon is an employee now to TKO Holdings. All right. He is not the almighty. The final say is on me. I can leave the company and then come back because I'm trying to sell the company, Vince McMahon. It's none of that anymore. It is none of that anymore. This is a cat that don't even have hands on creative anymore. It's all in Tripp's hands. Okay. The current structure of the WWE is about two people. It is about Nick Khan and it is about Triple H. All right. With Ari Emanuel above them. And that is it. If this gets worse, all they can do, what they can do is send Vince home. And that will be the last of Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
There's a person that is out in the realm that I would love for WWE to tap on the shoulder. And it's a gentleman by the name of Ari Helwani, who's one of the better combat sport writers in the sport. I think that's somebody that you would want to get some kind of venue or platform for, so he can also help you push this to the masses, and then help overshadow what you got going on with the backside of, that's not the right term to use, but with this whole Vince thing, you get to cover yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree. Ariel is a great journalist. He's a great journalist. He's great. You know, he's great at what he does.
Exactly.
Getting him involved in TKO would be incredible.
I got it. I'm gonna say this, and then I'll move on from. We'll move on. But with these text messages coming out, I'm a comment reader. I love to read the comments, see what everybody's thinking, you know. And I'm reading the replies on Twitter, and people are like, "Okay, Vince is 78. That doesn't sound like a 78-year-old man talking. Either that, or Vince watches too much porn. It's one or the other. It's no in between." And I'm just like,
"What you gotta think? This man has been
really shocked.
No, not even close. This man has been a billionaire for a majority of his life. His potential wealth or his net worth exploded from like 1984 to like 2007, just like wildly.
And he's been unchecked for exactly all of that amount of time. Okay. I try to pay attention, you know, I pay attention to the comment sections a little bit, because the comment section is only really 10 to 20% of what the actual thought is. That's mm-hmm. all it is, okay? All the comments section is those loud cats that get on your nerves. You punch them in their mouth if they were in front of you, if they'd say something, but they wouldn't say anything because they're too puss too.
Here we go.
Agreed. Next up.
Mm-hmm.
This is some of the big news that come out. The Midnight Rider called this 2 days ago before it was official. He called it. He think I'm not giving him his flowers. I was just confirming and saying, "Hey, you called this, but I got to give him his flowers on air." So he can't say that because he's been on me about it for 2 days.
Nah, but I just messed with you because it was like, you heard me and he was like, "Yeah, all right." And then like Adam Schefter dropped it. He was like, "Adam Schefter, hardball to the Chargers." I'm like, "Dog, I just said this last week. What are we doing here?" So, but it's all good. So that's why I messaged you today with the Raheem Morris joint.
Hold that Raheem Morris for a sec, okay? Because I definitely want to talk about that. But yeah, Harbaugh.
Former Chargers quarterback. Like mm-hmm. he used to play with the Chargers for 2 seasons. He's back in the fold. Honest opinions. I mean, knee jerk reaction. Honest opinion right now. I already think it helps him, but do we see a different Justin Herbert instead of the middle-of-the-road cat we've seen for the last 3 years?
Easily. So here's what's going to happen. The Chargers are going to invest in a running back, not a Austin Eckler. I would say if you can, if you don't have any ties to Eckler, you say Sarah, you let him walk. You either sign you a power back, like I would even say like a Derrick Henry, because Tennessee is not gonna want him back. So you take like a chance on a Henry to give you a couple carries, you know, to give you that downhill push, and then you come back with a kid like one of these little flashy running backs that are in college that are scat backs. Last year he shared time with the kid Spears from Tulane. But you get one of those type of backs that can do a little bit of everything, catch the ball out of the backfield. Do everything Eckler can, but just for cheaper and much faster. The other thing that you get with a Harbaugh team is you know the defense is going to be physical. So you get physical, you get Harbaugh's backing, and you get a better offense with Herbert. I mean, it's nothing but sky's the limit with this team. You can turn this in the 1 year because you got some turmoil just in the division alone. You don't know what the Raiders are going to do with quarterback. You have the Chiefs where they've showed chinks in the armor, but still the Chiefs be chiefing, so you can't really say that's an advantage for you. And then you got Denver trying to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback, because I don't think Russell Wilson's back there. So what do they go in the draft? And just a quick, I'm going to throw it out there. Bo Nix, Denver, that might be a thing.
I mean, this look, you now have a quarterback coach and a quarterback.
Exactly.
Okay. You have a quarterback coach and a quarterback. This was the biggest no-brainer of the coaching carousel, right? I mean, once the college football season ended, once Michigan State once Michigan won their national championship, it was barely a week after. It was barely a week, and Harbaugh was already in discussions with the power brokers of the Los Angeles Chargers. This was already going to happen. There was no, you know, out of all of the hires for this coaching carousel offseason, this was the least surprise. This was the least, because it's been talked about prior to the college football season ended.
There's one other motivating factor, is that Jim has a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
John has a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta break this championship tie somehow, and why not go through you to get to the championship? Because now who holds the bragging rights? Yeah, you beat me back in 2012, but now I just stopped you, or I beat you for a title.
Unless.
Or vice versa.
Unless Lamar does us a favor and win that chip this year.
But even if he wins it this year, again, there's more. Jim saying I went through you to get a title is a whole lot different. In the Harbaugh household, since y'all like to say this, for KG, it's a bubble championship. That's what he would call it for him. It'd be because I wasn't there. You didn't beat me to get to that Super Bowl. So that's where this is the beauty when you have hyper competitive people. And the biggest frustration I've had the last month with listening to these commentators talk about these coaches and where they're going. Like, I hear commentators like, oh, I would never go to AFC. Why not?
Why not?
Like, are all the quarterbacks you got to face? Yeah, but they got to face my defense. Like, it's like we've lost, to a certain extent, we've lost our ego when it comes to sports. Like, we're so busy trying to be nice guys and, like, buddy-buddy. Like, no, you got to have a certain level of arrogance. Like, when you walk on the field, your team is better than theirs. Playing the game is a formality.
We got to play through all these quarterbacks. Well, guess what? Get yourself a damn quarterback.
Not that difficult.
And when in a true scheme of things, but yeah, this was no surprise. This is no surprise. And I don't think it's going to take him long. I don't think it's going to take him long to get the Chargers right at all.
I think the only problem the Chargers have is they have a couple free agents. I think one of their older receivers goes. So I think early on, they do one or two things. And this is where the Chargers hit their home run. In the first round, they're probably in the top 15. So if they can draft, because they like tall receivers. So a kid like Keon Coleman from Florida State is a name you want to think about. And unfortunately, I don't believe Brock Bowers is a top 10 player because of his functionality as a tight end. But in that next five, I think that's where he goes. I think he goes top 15. So a Brock Bowers with a Justin Herbert, and then you throw in the rest of that receiving core, you got a powerful offense. And if you can run the ball, you light years ahead of what the Chargers have been the last 5 years.
And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Midnight Rider, I believe they have $45 million in cap space as of right now.
I haven't done my homework on that, but even if it's 45, let's say we take 10 off of that, because of contracts and things like numbers moving, and then now you're at 35, and that's still not a bad number to be at.
Hey, 35, you can do a lot. I've seen it done with less, you know.
Exactly.
Matt says, can't wait to watch AP torch him twice a year.
Okay, if you say so.
I can't argue with that. I think that's gonna be your new rivalry. It's gonna be the Raiders and the Chargers battling it out. I mean, granted, you'll be battling it out for number two, but you'll be battling it out.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, you got to still give these teams, like KC doesn't get a place at the table automatically anymore. They got to still fight now.
They don't?
No, they don't. It's a new sheriff in town.
Okay.
Okay.
Matt also says at least he can legally send someone to go watch a future opponent now.
He could then too.
Next up, we'll get into that. Next up, Raheem Morris, assistant with the Rams, goes to the Falcons. Knee-jerk reaction, fellas.
About damn time. About damn time. About damn time. Raheem Morris has deserved to be a head coach a long time ago. The fact that he's waited so long to get his second chance at being a head coach is a crime. Right? I think, and to be honest with you, I think it's a good spot for him. I think it's a good spot for him as well. I know that, you know, I know the talk was Belichick. Okay. They weren't, to me, this is my knee jerk reaction. The Falcons were not in the position for a Belichick. Okay. As it related to the way the team is, you know, way things are structured. They weren't, you know, they weren't in there for a Belichick. The Falcons needed a long-term solution. And to me, you know, this is a perfect spot for Raheem Morris.
All right. So knee-jerk reaction, I say it's a blessing. And I say it's a blessing because he, in the time from his first coaching job, and let's talk about his first coaching job where he was at the Bucks. And what everybody forgets about his first tenure with the Bucks is the Bucks didn't sign many players during that stretch because the Glazer family was dealing with their Man U situation. So they didn't have – their money was tied up. So those 3 years, Raheem didn't get resources that anybody else would get. And if you were friends with me on Twitter – I mean on Facebook, after that happened, I mentioned that. Like they went out and signed somebody the very first day of free agency right after they fired Raheem. And it showed they never gave him resources. And the other reason I say it's a blessing is because Raheem, because of his relationships with the Shanahans and those guys, when he was in Atlanta, he was an offensive coach. Mm-hmm. So now what we've been talking about in the buzzword the last 3 months, last 2 months has been the leader of men, being able to talk to both sides of the field. Now you got a guy who used to be an offensive coach, was a defensive coach. Now he's in charge of a team. You've got every advantage. And if you listen to him, talk to him, watched him, and I highly recommend his episode on the Pivot Podcast as must watch. It's him and Tomlin is my top two. If you watch that, you'll see that he has this charisma. He has this thing. And I think if you give him the options, now, KG, you know who his running back is.
Yeah. The other B. Rob, and Matt just said that. Happy for Morris seems like a good football guy. I bet he gets Robinson the damn ball. I bet he will.
Then you get your tight end, Kyle Pitts. You got your big kid on the outside from USC. I can't think of his name right now. But all you got to do is get them a quarterback. And, you know, Raheem used to be in D.C. with the Shanahans. And, I mean, if you were a NASCAR fan, Dale Earnhardt's car had this number on the side of it. I mean, there's a term called kissing.
I love it.
There's a way and there's a possibility that Kirk Cousins could end up in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then exactly. Now you got Cousins throwing the ball to Kyle Pitts. And then, of course, Raheem is going to bring. So let's figure out who the guy is. Is it Trim? Is it Brown? The guy that used to be in St. Louis, in L.A. with Sean? Now being his offensive coordinator? Is it somebody else off of that tree? Is it Zach Robinson? There are guys off the Shanahan tree where he's going to incorporate the Shanahan offense. And I'm telling you right now, I'm pushing some chips in the way for Kyle Pitts to have 1,000 yards. I'm going to put some chips in the way for Bijan Robinson to have 1,000 yards. I'm ready. This is a home run.
Yeah. Do you feel Drake London will fit with this?
Drake London.
Okay. Now, are you giving up on Desmond Ridder?
Huh?
Are you giving up on Desmond
Ridder? Who? Who? Who?
I mean, if anything, I tell Taylor to hit the road because he's proven that he can't do anything. And maybe Desmond's your backup.
Damn, Taylor hit the
road. Please, look. You talking about Desmond a backup. Look, if you could get your hands on Kirk Cousins, you could get any veteran QB to be your backup.
Well, I'm always talking about saving money. So if you're paying Kirk 30 to 40 with this draft class, you could also pick one of the young QBs later on in like the third round and still get you quality. I mean, you're not gonna get a starter quality, but you'll get somebody that can actually throw the football down the field and be a decent backup.
Yeah,
this is one of the deeper classes. This should have happened last year if it wasn't for COVID.
Yeah, this draft is going to be one of the deepest starter quality quarterback drafts at the top of the draft that we've seen in a minute.
And there's going to be a drop off, but we're going to have enough guys that can function, because I think these teams have to start realizing that we went through 64 quarterbacks last year or this past season. So we got to at least put somebody in the backup role that's going to be functional. Mm. We can't keep going with these Nathan Petermans. We can't keep going with those type of guys, because you play them two games and you realize that they can't do anything, and now you're stuck.
Right. And here's the thing about Raheem Morris. His first stint in Tampa Bay, he had 3 years of Josh Freeman.
Whoa. Time out. You will not besmirch the name.
I knew it.
But wait, I was getting ready to give props. He went 10-6 with Josh Freeman. Like, what?
What that cover?
I like Josh Freeman.
I did too. He was my guy, dog. No, I'm just messing with you.
He was a fantasy football darling. I will tell you that.
He had a season where he went like for 3,600. 34 TDs or something like that.
Yeah.
He was my guy. I tried to bank my franchise on him. That was the mistake I made.
Yeah. Same thing happened to him. Happened to Trent Edwards.
No. It's different.
No, listen. They went sour. One hit went sour. Couldn't do it no more.
See, I don't think it was the hit for him. I think Tampa Bay had such a deficit at wide receiver. And I always talk about there's a problem. Like, teams act like the quarterback can do everything, but when you put a quality receiver on the outside for a quarterback, it changes the dynamic. You saw Josh Allen take a step when Stephon Diggs got there. Mm-hmm. You see a difference in Mahomes from week 8 to now with this kid Rice giving them something. You see it with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's got more receivers than he's ever had in his career, and you see him flourishing. I keep telling y'all, you can't throw a quarterback out there and not give him quality receivers to throw to. And this is what happened to Bryce Young. Bryce Young is the perfect example. Bryce Young had garbage, and he couldn't, and the scheme wasn't good enough. CJ Stroud, he had somebody's leftovers, but the scheme was good enough that the scheme got everything open.
Uh-huh.
And when we're talking about the Bobby Slovis scheme, we're talking about the Shanahan scheme. And the Shanahan scheme is the same scheme that got Jabari Gaffney 1,000 yards receiving 1 year. So the scheme works. The scheme will get you open. Nobody had Nico Collins on the bingo card for being a 1,200-yard receiver this season. Only person that might have had it was Mama Nico.
Yeah, but on top of the scheme, you also got to have the talent. Okay, I'll say this: the one thing that Jordan Love saw that Aaron Rodgers didn't. Okay. So. He saw that he had some good receivers there, you know, that he could actually work with. All right. The quarterback can't do everything. Right. Quarterback can't do everything, but we've created a culture, an NFL culture, where it's all about the quarterback. When out of all of your major sports, the one sport that's always about the team is football.
Right.
Agreed.
Agreed.
And everybody thought Belichick was going to the Falcons. Word of the street is, allegedly, it was a hurdle with the structure of the team, a.k.a. he wasn't going to get control.
Well, let's think about this. You got, I think it's Terry Fontenot, who's your up-and-coming young black GM. You got Kyle Smith, who's your assistant GM. Why are you going to pigeonhole those two young guys, guys that you are has already made an impact, but you're just your last draft? Why are you going to pigeonhole those guys or have a stranglehold on them for some guy that doesn't even do personnel well? It'd be different if Bill was good at personnel, but he's not. He's never drafted a good receiver. His best running back is Ramon Stevenson that he drafted.
Kevin Falk.
Okay. How many carries, how many thousand yard seasons did Kevin Falk have?
None.
Okay. Thank you. So Ramon Stevenson.
Never, I ain't nothing to say on that one. Every bone.
Kevin Falk was a Swiss Army knife.
You want to bring up Danny Woodhead also?
No, it was Kevin Falk.
Just ask.
It's all about Kevin Falk, LSU.
Just asking.
Watch the Cats' whole career.
His two tight ends, he drafted the killer and he drafted Gronk.
And he picked Woodhead off the scrap heap when the Jets let him go. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Woodhead is a typical Belichick guy. But yep. Say all of that to say that Atlanta was smart enough not to get caught in that bubble in the fame of him being the go-to coaches. You got to be better. You can't pigeonhole what we're doing. We're bringing in talent. We've got talent. We've got AJ Terrell. We got Jeff Okuda at corners. We've got decent line. Maybe we get a couple guys here or there. We're the next step. But the biggest step they got to take is the quarterback.
True indeed. Next up, the Panthers hire Dave Canellis from the Bucks OC. This is his first head coaching job. Knee-jerk reaction thoughts, because this was a surprise.
Next.
I think this is perfect. I think this is a smart move. You've watched this man resurrect Geno Smith's career. You watched him give Baker life. The one thing the Panthers have to do some way, somehow, is figure out ways to get talent in the building. So one of the guys you got to get, T. Higgins, he's a free agent. He went to Clemson. He's from the area. Now you get somebody on the outside that's going to be productive for your young quarterback. You draft one of these young receivers later on, because you can get a young receiver anywhere in this draft.
2 years, he'll be gone.
Cool.
Two years he'll be gone. Let me explain why. Let me explain why. And MR, you already know where I'm gonna go, right? You already know where I'm gonna go, okay? As long as David Tepper is the owner of this team and he continues to meddle, no coach will be successful. And unfortunately, for the coach that, you know, with the coach that has no head coaching experience and is walking into his first head coaching job, he will be a coordinator in two to three more years. Sorry.
Here's where I think Tepper's going to have to take a step back. His general manager they just hired is Dan Morgan. Dan Morgan out of University of Miami. Played for the Carolina Panthers for a good stretch of time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way the people of Carolina will let Tepper undercut. And I'm not going to say no way, but what I'm going to say is the people are going to have a big voice if they feel that he is tampering with Dan Morgan and what he's trying to get accomplished. The other person that I would love to see, and this is, I don't know where he fits in this program, but you got one smart middle linebacker. There's a smart middle linebacker that went to BC that played 10 years for you but had concussion issues. I would love to see, in some capacity, Luke Kuechly comes back and gets in the fold. I don't know what his time is. I don't know what his family life is. But he's a guy that I think can make an impact from a coaching standpoint. That must be a dunk.
No, actually, Joker got hit in the face. By my dude White Dante.
Okay. But from a coaching standpoint, from an intellectual property standpoint, I just think there's some people in Carolina that they need to get in the fold to help this process. And if Tepper, if they can layer themselves from Tepper, then maybe Tepper has a less effect. But again, I mean, we're Commanders fans, so we always thought that we could layer things to keep Dan out of the way, and Dan always found a way to meddle.
Oh wow! Sorry, guys. He's still laying on the court. Okay, they're bringing trainers out, and they got a towel over his left eye.
Uh oh, that don't sound good.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it don't spark him because the Knicks are up by 19 points. Mm.
Y'all must we were talking about Bill Belichick. Yeah, Matt chimed in and said Bill's best pick was Kent State grad Julian Edelman, who turned from QB to a pretty good slot wide receiver. Those Kent State guys are legit.
I'm calling this is bogus. It's a little bogus. It's a little fraudulent. It's only fraudulent because Matt went to Kent State. Good point. But I feel some bias in the arena here.
And he also said, I will take the under on 2 years for Kanellis. I'm with that. I mean, granted, good move, because you whenever somebody gets off the carousel of the retreads, I'm good with it. It's just that you know for a fact that when you go young, you go new, they don't last very long.
So. It's not no, let's not say that.
Thank you. I disagree with that. It depends on the franchise that they go to. Okay. Exactly. If the franchise that they go to has the proper foundation, a young, inexperienced head coach is going to work. See Mike Tomlin.
Right.
Okay. It can work. It can work, but if your foundation is already faulty, all you're doing is putting that young coach behind the eight ball the minute he gets there. And we've seen that too many times.
Yeah.
The other part of the process is when you get Kanellis is a young guy. So he's the type of guy, if we're smart, we're going to find him an experienced D coordinator. Now they still have, gosh, I can't pronounce the guy's name, but it's the African brother that was a coaching prospect. It's something African descent. He's their current defensive coordinator right now under Frank Wright. He is somebody that maybe you keep on the staff as an option because he's got experience coaching this team. He's got experience already putting the defense in. Maybe that's somebody you go with. The other option you go with is you go with an old coach that's been around, maybe somebody that's been a head coach, and he's now looking for DC roles. You know, so maybe, honestly, and this is not a backhand to him, but this could even be a situation where you get a guy like a Ron Rivera, because you get somebody that's going to show him around the building and help him understand what it is to be a head coach, and he can bounce things off of. I don't think Carolina would be too excited about that, but that's the type of guy I'm thinking about. A guy that has gone through the battles, that has been a coordinator, but has also been a coach. So now every time this young guy comes out and he's trying to make plans, he's trying to figure things out, he's got somebody to throw ideas off of to map out training camp, map out OTAs, to figure out how long we want to do this, how long we're doing that. These are just the little things that you got to do as a head coach that you didn't do as a coordinator.
So bring it. Look, bring in Mike Mentor, please. Okay, come on.
I was when you said old coach, I was like, okay, I'm thinking you're gonna go with an old coach, but you didn't go with an old coach. I thought you was gonna go, hey, let's bring in Dick LeBeau, let's bring in Dom Capers. Dom Capers is a legacy pick. I mean, this is what I'm talking about when you say
Dom Capers somewhere eating applesauce and
Capers is already in the building.
Okay.
He's a senior defensive assistant in Denver and in Carolina, so he's already there.
Well, I'm just saying, you know where I'm coming from. You smell
what the Dennis with experience. with a few notches in his belt.
Right, but he also has to have some head coaching notches in his belt.
Matt says Rivera was in Carolina before DC. Can't see him going back there as a coordinator.
Again, I'm talking about the type. It's not about the name. It's about the type, the build, the modicum that is what he is. You want somebody that's got coaching experience, that's been around the block, but you know he's not getting a head coaching job anywhere else. So he can help you with the day-to-day planning of being a coach and developing the plan.
Mike Minter.
I like that name more. Every time you say it, I like it more.
Mike Minter. Okay. All right.
Well, next up, we've been talking about coach hirings. Let's talk about coach firings. We talked about Adrian Griffin Tuesday night. Let's talk about Wes Unseld Jr. out as Wizards coach, moving upstairs in an advisory role. This was his third season sitting on the bench. Overall, 77-130. 35 wins his first two seasons. He only had 7 this season. Before I turn it over to you gentlemen, let me say this. I took this one to heart because when they were looking for a head coach, I said, Wes Unseld Jr. is your guy. And they came out, they reeled off out of their first 15 games, I think they were like 12-3. And I was like, all you got to do, run everything through Bradley Beal, give him the green light. I said some things early and I still stand by him. I think Beal held talent hostage here. You get Poole. Poole's a cesspool of anything. Jordan Poole is a sanitary pipe in the middle of Baltimore. That's what he is. That's how much shit he is. He's a sanitary pipe in the middle of Baltimore. Kyle Kuzma is as useless as a distributor cap in a 2023 Mercedes-Benz. I understand he had to deal with those things. I'm sorry I put you in this situation, man. I'm sorry I even wish for this shit. But he is out as coach. I kind of thought it was going to happen earlier. It didn't. Gentlemen, what y'all got?
Get me out of this headache. Get me out of this headache. I'm so happy for Wes Unseld right now. I'm so happy for Junior. All right? Get me out of this headache. All right. If he goes in the front into an advisory role and then maybe parlays this into an assistant coaching job someplace else, he'll be fine.
I don't think he goes anywhere else. I think they respect his opinion enough in the front office and I think they respect his ability to be a player developer that this organization isn't about right now. We're not like this is the ultimate Ray Lewis speech where we're talking about the past is behind us, the future is too far away, and today is the moment. This is what this moment was, and I actually felt like when you think about the way Wes was trying to structure this, I think Wes had some flaws. And I think one of the flaws was he didn't play Koulibaly and Denny Avia, his two best on-ball defenders, on the court at the same time. He basically said that they were one for one. He never tried to venture into a lineup where maybe those two were on the court at the same time. I would have personally put Poole, Koulibaly, Avia, Kuzma, and either Gafford. And now that you got Bagley, I'd put one of those two kids on the floor. And that would be a lineup. Now, it doesn't have to be my starting lineup because tonight he went with the regular starters. But I think when you are a coach, and when it comes to basketball, sometimes it's matchups and moments. And you got to realize when you're not defending, you got to put in guys that's going to defend and send a message. Like, you know why you're not playing? Because you don't defend. That's why you're not playing. And I really felt like today was more of a – this wasn't about Wes's performance. It was about philosophy. I think philosophically, from a developmental standpoint, they felt like Wes was holding talent hostage because he was stuck in his ways with certain people. And I think he has to get off of those things. Like, I think there's no reason why Kispert shouldn't be playing 25 to 30 minutes a night.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's no reason. Because you can't score anyway. So you got to give the scorer a chance to score. You know, I like Tyus Jones, but I think also you got to give Poole some minutes at the point. And maybe it's not. Like, if Poole and Tyus on the floor, You're not designated one as the ball handler.
You got to move the ball for each other. You got to move Tyus. You got to move.
Oh, Tyus is gone by February 8th. Tyus is gone.
You got to move Tyus. Yeah.
And I think that's a Thursday. If the 8th is a Thursday, that's got to be our show. The trade deadline.
Yeah, the 8th is a Thursday, I believe.
That's the trade deadline.
Pencil me in.
Most definitely trade deadline. We got Perry.
Yeah, pencil me in. Pencil me in.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna stick in DC. Last but not least, question of the night: If Doug Williams does not have a role in this front office, would that affect how you view them and them as in ownership? Correct me, Knight Rider.
Correct.
Okay. I say no. I mean, I think he's going to have a role, but if he doesn't have a role, that's not going to be like, oh, man, y'all messed up, and, you know, he won a Super Bowl for us. If you're not going to let him do the job that he should be doing, let him go elsewhere and do it.
And the whole reason I asked the question, I was just curious because and I actually asked – you were the second person I asked. The first person I asked was your boy Rick Doc Walker. Because Rick has been very, what's the word I want to use? Effusive in his praise for when Doug and the Smith kid ran that draft Ron's first year. So I know he has some connection to it. So he made me actually really ask the question. I personally don't care. If you're not going to use Doug, I don't want you to see him. I don't want you to hold on to him either. I would rather you see have a clean break because that also symbolizes a clean break from the Dan era and maybe having somebody in place as a figurehead to bring goodwill. And we're done with trying to get goodwill. The way we're going to get goodwill is by winning ball games, not by having this person in this position or not by rolling out this statue for this guy. Our goodwill will be ascertained by being a winning organization. And that's a culture thing. And that's the only reason I'm not going to be upset or won't be upset if Doug's not in the building.
MR, well said, man. As an outsider to this Commander conversation, you got new ownership. You got a new front office. Shoot, you just brought Bob Meyer into the front office. All right. Concentrate on building the front office properly, concentrate on building the culture properly. All right. If you want to give Doug a figurehead goodwill job, give him a figurehead goodwill job. If not, sayonara, que sera, sera, whatever. All right. When you've been a franchise that has been run incorrectly, poorly, terribly, garbage out of all hell, garbage. You got to rebuild your structure and not think about the past. You can't think about the past. You have to build for the future. Once you build for the future, then you can reach out to the past as a goodwill. But it ain't gonna mean nothing until you build the proper foundation for your future.
I said it a couple weeks ago, and I know KG's gonna remember what me saying this, but at a certain point in time, you gotta die on the cross that you believe in or the cross of your beliefs. You gotta do it. And I think this group here, their belief is getting smart, talented people in the building, getting as many of them you can, and then we create a focus group or think tank that's going to make us better because we've got the best minds in the building giving us the best thoughts. And then we can turn those thoughts by having great coaching into results.
Exactly.
I'll say this. I get both of you gentlemen made great points. Only thing I didn't agree with is giving Doug a figurehead position. It's not beneficial. He was a college scout for the Jaguars, 95 and 96. He's a personal executive for the Buccaneers and coordinator of pro scouting from 04 to 010. He came in as a personal executive. He was a senior vice president of player personnel and then senior vice president of player development here in DC before he was reassigned to be a senior advisor. That senior advisor role, and I said it to BJ when it happened, I said, that's a bullshit way to say, hey, we're going to pay you, but you're not going to have any hand in anything that you normally do. His background has been scouting since he came back to the league. He did it with Tampa Bay. He did it here. He did it in Jacksonville.
Well, this is where the interview process, this is where the getting to know process, this is where one of the reasons why I love the Bob Meyer hire. I love the Rick Spielman. Ooh. I like the fact that they're looking for somebody that's, they're not going to identify bosses. They're going to identify leaders. Because mm-hmm. there's a huge difference between somebody that wants to be a boss and someone that wants to be a leader.
You remember we talked about it. This is about a couple months ago. We were talking about how you had that, you know, you had to have that guy that had, he started the pipeline to where to go to find the gems. Mm-hmm. And you get, Doug Williams has a couple gems in the draft under his belt, right?
Yes. Him and the question becomes, is that him? Is it Kyle? And that's where the argument gets blurry.
Right.
But I'm with you. I'm with you. Because Cam Curl is one of those guys.
Right. Now, here's my thing. You keep him on in the scouting department as a scout. Not head scout, but as one of your senior scouts. He's your pipeline to your HBCUs. With his connections that he has down at Grambling. The connections that he has in the South. Where most people ain't looking. That's where you're sending him to. He's your 2024 Lloyd Wells. For those that don't know, Lloyd Wells is responsible for the Kansas City Chiefs in the 60s, drafting a lot of players out of HBCUs. He was their pipeline to HBCUs in the 60s. He is your Lloyd Wells of 2024 for HBCUs, because not many scouts are going down there looking at those kids. But it's more talent down there than a lot of these major colleges. So, I mean, that's my thing. But if you're going to give him a figurehead role that really has no duties, you know, what did BJ say? He smile, wave, and shut the fuck up. He said that's the role that he got to play. If that's the role you're going to put him in, let him go elsewhere and get and make his money elsewhere. Don't hold on to him.
I think because of their fandom, they would never put him in that position. Because these guys were truly fans of the Washington Commanders, they would never disrespect Doug to that level to say, hey, sit in the building, collect the paycheck, and smile. I think they would always value his opinion if they want his opinion, and if his opinion fits into the values that they garner or hold true to.
All right. Well, they say it's about next. Yeah, we'll see. Because they say it's going to be about sometime next week. They're doing interviews. Dan Quinn was in town, I think, today. Yeah, today's Thursday. Dan Quinn was in town today. I think we got an interview tomorrow. I'm not sure with who. I forget. It's a coordinator that's playing this weekend.
Nah, you can't do anybody this weekend until Monday.
I think it was a Zoom.
So you get Ben Johnson Monday. You get Aaron Glenn because they're going to fly out to them after the games.
Okay.
They're flying to Detroit to sit with both of those guys.
All right. So somebody was supposed to be meeting tomorrow. I'm not sure. I can't remember who it was.
And here's a good snippet is that because Atlanta has hired their coach, you don't have to worry about splitting time with Atlanta with the two coaches. You get both of them on your own now because they're no longer in the picture.
Right. So, we've come to that part of the show where it's time to wrap that shit up, B. Final thoughts before we get up out of here, gentlemen.
I just hope the Nationals figure out something, some kind of way to put a streaming thing together so I can watch them this year because I'm tired of trying to bootleg my way into watching the Nationals.
Maybe if you had a real team and, you know, that wore pinstripes, you wouldn't have to do that.
I don't know. If I had a real team and they won a title in the last 5 years.
Hmm. Yeah, title in the last 5 years. I got 27 of them.
You've only existed for 10.
27.
Okay. How many you see?
27.
Right, but how many you see?
Seen all 27.
No, you have. Nah, we ain't talking about on VHS. We ain't talking about on real real.
I seen every one of the greatest shortstop that ever played baseball, Derek Sanders and Jeter one.
Okay.
I seen the.
I'll let you live with the hyperbole.
I've seen all of the titles since 77.
Okay.
So. Go ahead, Perry. I forgot what I was gonna say. Please, talking about great franchises and things and 27 world championships.
Oh boy.
Like I'd be wanting to hold my fingers up, but I'm like, damn, I don't have enough fingers for all my rings. So you know.
Mm.
Oh. Did you have? I think you said you watched the ending of that that University of Maryland Michigan State game.
Yeah. So, like I said in the email, I think that play was automatic. Like I think in certain situations, coaches, if you feel like you have an advantage, or you think you have the upper hand, in that late second scenario, you let your guys push and go with it. And I think the only problem with that scenario was. The kid, whoever the guard was, got overzealous and tried to do too many moves. Like he wanted to cross over, take it through his leg, step back, all in the same time. And that's when it kicked off his foot. And that's why I don't understand, like, some of these coaches where they teach these kids these dribble combinations. Like, those combinations are so intertwined and so different. Like, just get downhill. Be a skier. Attack the front foot. Keep it simple. All that extra stuff is extra. But, I mean, we in a different era, and they like to cross, go through, do this, go behind the back. And I think his thing was more of a youth mistake. And I'll take that. I mean, your man said it the best. I'd rather calm down. What did he say? I'd rather
tame a fool than resurrect a corpse.
There we go. Can't say it any better. And that's what that scenario was. And when you pull that kid aside, you tell him, good, hey, I understand what you was trying to do, but I'm going to need you later on in the season. So take this moment, remember it, and let's correct it later on. Because I always tell my kids, if you call any kid that I coach basketball in, they'll tell you, one of my favorite sayings is, who we are in November and December is not who we're going to be in March. And if we are, then I failed you.
All right, so Saturday night, we will be back. The People's Choice, Don Rodriguez, Nubian Sumo, myself, will be back after Royal Rumble. And we will be doing our react show. Hopefully, we'll be crowning a new champion. I got my speech ready because I'm ready to put the title back around my waist where it belongs. So, hopefully we'll be able to do that. Then be back at it again Sunday morning, breaking down Championship Sunday. We got two games on Sunday, and then we got a whole week where we have no football.
We got to talk start time on Sunday.
We got to talk what?
Start time.
Start time. Okay. All right. We'll do that. It's kind of depressing. We only got three games of the NFL season left. Until August. Jesus. NBA, WNBA, and baseball going to have to carry me over. So.
Don't sound so depressed, man.
Because I like it when we get all of it. And I got a smorgasbord. You know, I like to get it all. But
yeah, I just need one thing. I just need Baltimore to win this game. All right, because I cannot put up with Taylor fucking Swift in the damn Super Bowl. Okay, I can't put up with that. I cannot put up with that. I'm sorry, I cannot put up with that. All right, All right, I just can't. Okay, I was done with it. I was done with it. By about you know, game six of the regular season. I was truly done with it with that poor attempt at swag surfing. I can't do it. I can't do it no more. I cannot give the Lamar blow these cats off the field, man. So we ain't got to deal with it for real. For real. Agreed. Do Black America a favor. Do us a favor and get this out of here for real.
Agree. I still haven't forgiven Taylor Swift for remaking September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it just was potato salad that was dry and had raisins and walnuts in it. So,
well, then if you did that, I hope you ain't forgive Beyonce for her Frankie Beverly thing.
I damn sure ain't forgive her for that. She lost mad cool points for that.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
No. We got to get out of here. Perry, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. We will catch you on the next one, Midnight Rider. I guess I'll see you Sunday. Thank you, too. Thank you for everybody listening, joining over on Instagram. Of course, we lagging here, but everybody that joined us on Instagram, Devin, Brian, Lucky, Kevin, Mom, D'Angelo, Chandelier, Brenda, everybody that joined us over there, Matt, JoJo, thank y'all for joining us. We out of here, baby. We don't do no overtime now.